chopsticks.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's buying Eddie Money and his date admission to a Bong Joon-ho movie. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Elon, prop plane Muscat.
Oh, I didn't see you all the way down there.
Kendall, the Emperor Spires.
Your feeble skills are no match for the power of my trivia knowledge.
And Sarah, Midnight Cheesecake Baker.
I feel like Dorothy Spornax in a room full of Rose Nylons.
Hello, and thanks to everyone for joining us for today's match. We have arrived at the third elimination match here in the Altair 4 division in our eighth season. As per usual, keeping scores today is Score Master Dan. Welcome, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, some of my students apparently found out about the show. They were asking me about it. And I think it's going to make them think I'm pretty cool, right? I mean, way cooler than the other quantitative methodology for social science professors.
Absolutely, Dan. Zero argument with that piece of logic right there. Also joining us today, behind the boards, it's production master Dave. Hi, Dave. Couldn't agree more. So I think that's time to get into our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our three players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle those champions are fighting. Let's welcome back to the show our very first season's Supermondo Champion of Champions. It's tired dad, Elon Muscat. Elon, who is your champion today?
My champion is Kamina, big brother from the mecha anime Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
Fantastic. Also with us today, it's the victor from our recent bookish-themed special. It's Lego assembler Kendall Spires. Kendall, who's your champion?
My champion is Sokka from Avatar The Last Airbender.
And rounding out our lineup today, also returning from our first season, it's TV actor and TV watcher Sarah Baker. Sarah, who have you got?
I have Ralph the Dog from The Muppets.
All right, all three champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan is on judging duties today. So let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, who's going to beat the Wookiee in a game of Dejarik, aka holographic chess? Elon, why is Kamina going to beat the Wookiee in the game of Star Wars holographic chess known as Dejarik?
I hate to walk in prepared, but it feels like this is what Kamina was born for. He, first of all, his career, short as it is fighting furry monsters that pilot giant robots. And that's all that Chewbacca really gets into in Return of the Jedi, really. Second thing is Kamina doesn't know what's good for him. And as viewers of Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann knows, he goes into fights where he's woefully unprepared and makes mistakes that may cost him bodily integrity. And I think most importantly is that Kamina's real calling is to inspire. And I think he would drive the Wookiee to maybe improve his play style. And I think that's a great idea, even if both his arms get ripped off in the end, which honestly not his major concern. So in summary, Kamina born for this challenge.
Thank you, Elon. All right, Kendall, make the case for Sokka from Avatar The Last Airbender as being the one who's going to beat the Wookiee in a game of Dejarik.
Well, Sokka, he's in the group. He doesn't have bending powers, so he is the plans guy, the improviser, the knowledge guy. So he would certainly have the skills. He would learn the game. He would beat the Wookiee. And then most importantly, because he is the improviser and the guy who has no bending powers, he would be smart enough to run away immediately so as to not be rendered limb from limb for having beat the Wookiee at the space chess.
Thank you, Kendall. And our last argument is from Sarah. Sarah, why is Rolf the Muppet piano-playing dog going to beat the Wookiee in a game of Dejarik?
Well, I mean, Rolf is obviously very dexterous, both mentally and physically, because he's able to play the piano, which is an artistic pursuit, as well as practiced, learned, dedicated craft. And he's also going to communicate well with a fellow animal, a fellow brown furry creature. And I think relating to your opponent can be very powerful. Now, on top of all that, he's a dog who speaks and sings and plays piano. So what can't he do?
Thank you, Sarah. Three pretty strong arguments all around, I gotta say. But it's ultimately up to Dan to determine this week's winner. Dan, who's it gonna be?
All right. So first off, I go through Elon's, because this is like one of those times we were watching like a British cooking show when someone makes a fajita and the judge is like, a fajita? I've never heard of such a thing. This is wild. And they have no idea what it is. And they wind up winning just because no one can criticize them because they don't know what it's supposed to do. So I think Elon might be playing that game a little bit here, where he just throws something that I've never heard of and hopes that, yeah, maybe they'll just, I can say whatever I want about this character and Dan won't have any way of fact checking this. So we'll put that aside for the moment. Let's go to Sokka. I agree Sokka is the smart plans guy. He's the improviser. I think Sokka also is generally taking the better part of Valor, right? If Sokka knows, oh, I could get my arms ripped off for beating this guy at a game, he's not going to beat that guy at the game. He's going to run away. I don't think he's going to run away after he wins. I think he's going to run away beforehand. He's going to let the Wookiee win. So I don't think he's going to wind up winning, which probably the better idea in the long term, but that's not what the challenge is. So then we have to ask about Rolf the dog. So first off, could Rolf the dog actually beat the Wookiee at a game? Well, we don't know if the Wookiee is actually any good at this game or not. It almost doesn't matter, because the Wookiee is going to rip your arms off if he loses. So he doesn't have to be very good at it. So is Rolf the dog going to be good at it? Well, I do like the idea that Rolf perhaps has a kinship with the Wookiee. You know, they see each other. And I think maybe they're going to connect at a deeper level than they would with anyone else. So it's about Rolf versus Kamina. And the question is, who's going to do a better job of winning? Now, I do think that Kamina is probably more likely to actually win the game because he's more reckless, so he's more likely to just go ahead and do it. Rolf is going to play the game and connect spiritually and then not get his arms ripped off. So the question is, what really counts as winning? And the answer is, it's a game. You win by winning. So Rolf the dog has a spiritual connection, but our winner is Elon and Kamina.
Pyrrhic victory.
That was a journey you took us on, Dan. Oh, my goodness. All right, Elon, you have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will have half a point to your name before we even start round one. Here is your half point question. In Solo, we find out that the Millennium Falcon's holo chess set used to have two more pieces until Chewie broke them after a loss to Beckett, played by this actor.
Beckett was played by Woody Harrelson.
That is correct for half a point. You also get to go first, Elon, in round one, Cats in the Cradle. Movies and TV shows often have to cast a different actor as the younger or older versions of their leads, but getting someone who can embody the same character is a challenge. In this game, we'll tell you two actors who played the same character at different ages in the same TV show or movie. You name that property. So, if we told you that this was a movie in which River Phoenix played a young Harrison Ford, you'd know that was...
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yes, the prologue of that third Indiana Jones movie, that would get you 10 points. If you need more help, we can tell you a little bit more about the TV show or movie in question, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's kick off round one with Elon. What's the property where Gloria Stewart plays the older Kate Winslet?
I'm gonna feel pretty confident that this is Titanic.
Yes, both playing Rose DeWitt Bukater, that is Titanic. Over to Sarah. What's the property where Linny Green is a young B. Arthur?
Lenny Green?
Linny, L-Y-N-N-I-E.
I'm going to say the Golden Girls.
Yes, with some flashbacks as a young Dorothy on the Golden Girls. Next to Kendall. What has Krista B. Allen as a young Jennifer Garner?
I'm just going to go for it and guess that they both played Sydney Bristow in Alias. Damn it.
In this case, there's a young version of her character in 13 Going on 30. Both of them played Jenna in that movie. Next, back to Elon. What has Morgan Lilly as a young Jennifer Lawrence?
Well, I know that Jennifer Lawrence played a young Mystique, but I also know there was a movie where there was an even younger Mystique. And I think that was X-Men First Class.
right there, even without Rebecca Romijn in the mix, still getting X-Men First Class. Back to Sarah. What's the property where Mayim Bialik is a young Bette Midler?
Oh, yes, I remember seeing her on, like, The Tonight Show, and she was very upset that she didn't get to sing her own part in this movie, which was Beaches.
Both as CeCe Bloom in Beaches. We are back to Kendall. What's the property where McKenna Grace plays a young Kiernan Shipka?
I believe this is The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yes, both playing older and younger versions of Sabrina Spellman.
They look freakishly similar.
Yeah. We are back over to Elon. What's the property where Elle Fanning plays the younger version of Dakota Fanning?
I really need to be more up on my Fanning filmographies. And the ones I'm thinking of, I don't feel like they were both in. So I'm going to ask for the hint here.
It's a 2001 drama movie.
You're real early for Elle Fanning, Dakota Fanning familiarity. 15 seconds are ticking away, so I'm going to go with 2001 drama. Is this like The Secret Garden?
In this case, we are talking I Am Sam with Sean Penn, Elle Fanning as the younger version of Dakota Fanning in an early scene in that movie. Back over to Sarah. It's another Elle Fanning, but this time she's the younger version of Kate Blanchett.
Can I have a hint, please?
This is a 2008 fantasy romance movie.
Romance. Kate Blanchett. I should be able to think of some Kate Blanchett movie. But I can't, so I will pass.
This is 2008's The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Elle Fanning as the child version of her character, Daisy, when Benjamin Button is the old man and they meet in the middle. Next up to Kendall. This has Daniel Radcliffe as the younger version of John Hamm.
Oh, what was the name of that thing? Was it Young Doctor's Notebook?
A Young Doctor's wow. Notebook, that very short TV miniseries. Well done. And that'll take us to our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Wow, the scores are just incredibly tight right now. Kendall and Sarah each have 20. Elon is in the lead with 20 points and the half point. Could not be closer.
Let's get back into it with another old young acting example for Elon. What's the property that has Robert Pattinson as a young Hal Holbrook?
I will need a hint here.
It's a 2011 romance movie.
2011. I'm going to have to pass.
This movie is Water for Elephants with him and Reese Witherspoon. Next up, over to Sarah. Where is Dakota Goyo playing the young Chris Hemsworth?
Hint, please.
This is a 2011 superhero movie.
Thor?
Yes, that first Thor movie with plenty of flashbacks to Thor and Loki as children. Over to Kendall. What has Rob Lowe as the younger Robert Wagner?
Oh, I'm going to need the hint there.
This is a 1999 comedy sequel.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to pass on this one.
Sarah?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it, but I know it's Austin Powers.
Yes, in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, they go back in time to 1969, where Rob Lowe plays a young number two. We are back to Elon. When does Matthew Perry play the adult Zac Efron?
Counterpart to the Jennifer Gardner movie. But, so it's not 13 going on 30. Is this one called something again? It's not 13 again. And it's not 18 again. I'm going to say, could it be 13 again? How old was Zac Efron? 15 again.
He was dancing around at 17 again is that title. Not to be confused with the Maori Sisters movie also called 17 Again, which came out earlier. Next up to Sarah. It's where Josh Brolin is the young Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll take the hint, please.
It's a 2012 sci-fi sequel.
Oh. Men in Black 2? Oh, rats.
Men in Black 3 over there in 2012. With Brolin doing a spot on Tommy Lee Jones in that movie. And our last example is for Kendall. When does Rachel McAdams play the younger Jenna Rollins?
I believe that's in The Notebook.
Correct. A strong answer for Kendall to close out round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two.
Going round two, it's time for the last shark score break. The last shark. It's like Jaws, but it's better because it's Italian and it's got a windsurfing regatta and Vic Morrow. At this point, the game is real tight. Kendall's lead with 30. Sarah's got 25. Elon is in third place with 20 points and the half point, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
It also means Elon gets to make up some ground and or do some serious damage with the Threequalizer. Elon, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. In 2014 alone, Kelsey Grammer had roles in installments of three live-action action franchises. In them, he played Dr. Hank McCoy, a recruiter of mercenaries named Bonaparte, and rogue CIA agent Harold Attinger. Name those three franchises.
All right. I've already tangled with the X-Men, and I know that he played Beast in the little reprise scene from Days of Future Past. So, X-Men. I know he was the Cemetery Wind guy in Transformers. And these sound like skeletons. You know what? I'm going to say, no, this is too late for it. But I don't know. So, RIPD.
In this case, he has a role as Bonaparte in The Expendables 3, so the Expendables franchise. But still, 20 points to Elon for knowing X-Men and Transformers. And keeping on the Kelsey Grammer train, we're going to go to round two, entitled Frasier Crane, Heal Thyself. Sitcom psychiatrist Frasier Crane helps others with their problems, but never really seemed to resolve the psychological issues that the women he was involved with have carried over from the other roles they've played. In this game, we'll tell you about the psychological problems that might be faced by other characters played by actresses Frasier Crane dated on Frasier or Cheers. You name the TV show or movie those issues arise from. So, if we told you that a 1993 property led Frasier's girlfriend Marie to have trust issues because her reporter boyfriend was secretly a red and blue clad superheroic alien, you'd know that that show was
Lois and Clark.
Lois and Clark, because Terry Hatcher from Lois and Clark played one of Frasier's girlfriends. That would get you 20 points. If you're not sure, we can tell you the name of the actress, but then a correct answer is worth only 10. Then you'll have a chance to earn another 10 points with a related follow-up. Let's kick it off with Elon. From a 1982 property, Madeline is still traumatized by that time one of her kids got lost in a ghostly portal that appeared in her house.
The actress isn't giving me any info, but a 1982 movie with a ghostly portal feels like a poltergeist thing, so I'm going to say Poltergeist.
Yes, because Poltergeist's Jo Beth Williams played Madeline on Frasier. Jo Beth Williams also voiced lounge singer Angel, who happens to be a fish, in this 1992 animated series.
Who is a fish in a 1992 animated series? This sounds really familiar. And I'm going to say, because it had that kind of voice cast, Animaniacs?
This is a Dan Casino special. This is Fish Police. It sounds familiar because you've listened to the show and Dan loves to ask about Fish Police. Next up, over to Sarah with issues from a 2004 property. Caitlin had a heck of a time trying to manage both a cranky, brilliant doctor and the guilt that comes with that doctor blaming her for his medical condition.
Can I get a hint, please?
The Frasier actress on this property is Lisa Edelstein.
Oh. I know her in real life, not to brag. I'm going to guess this is House.
Good thing you got that right.
I know, right?
Correct. Lisa hanging out with multiple doctors across multiple shows. Still for Sarah, in this 1998 TV series, Lisa Edelstein plays Lauren, who dates Ben after the title character breaks up with him.
Again, feels really important that I get this correct.
Do you want to use your lifeline? Call a friend?
Yeah, right.
Could you actually phone her up right now and ask her? Do it. I will give you the point. No. I know this is, but if we can get Lisa Edelstein on the podcast, it's worth it.
No.
Okay,
yes.
All right, no. Fine. I guess she doesn't really know her is what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Okay.
Sarah Baker, fine. I'll talk.
You pull up her number?
All right, proceed with your den of lies. She did it. She just pulled up her phone and showed us Lisa Edelstein on her contacts list.
Oh, man. It's in there. It's in the phone. Amazing.
I don't know. I'm going to say Felicity. I heard Ben.
Yes, Felicity is correct, with Lauren dating Ben after Felicity broke up with him. All right, next up, over to Kendall. From a 1996 property, Mia has a workaholic husband who decides to make up for neglecting his son by going overboard to get him the one dumb action figure he wants for Christmas.
Again, what was the name of that thing? Was it Jingle All the Way?
Yes, with Rita Wilson showing up on Frasier and that movie.
I would like to formally apologize to my mother for having to take me to see that in the theater when I was a wee Kendall.
Still for Kendall, on Girls, Rita Wilson plays the mother of this character, who was played herself by Allison Williams.
Marnie
Michaels, another 10 points for Kendall. We are back to Elon with a Frasier girlfriend who appeared in a 2010 property. Charlotte could really use some counseling on how to deal with her terminal cancer diagnosis and how to break the news to her friends and family after avoiding it for too long.
Cancer diagnosis, 2010, and has avoided telling anybody. And I will need a hint.
The actress in question is Laura Linney.
Arlene, cancer diagnosis. Was it You Can Count on Me? Probably not, but I'm going to say You Can Count on Me.
You Can Count on Me a little earlier than 2010. This is her Showtime series, The Big C. The Big C. Still for Elon, Laura Linney went on to win an Emmy for playing Abigail in this HBO series.
Is this Big Little Lies?
Abigail Adams in the John Adams miniseries with her and Paul Giamatti. We are back to Sarah from a 2009 property. Diane is still way too hung up on her ex-husband, maybe even more so after he married a much younger Colombian woman.
Oh, Modern Family?
Yes, with Shelley Long popping up there as Claire and Mitchell's mom. Sarah, Shelley Long also plays Tom Hanks' wife, Anna, in this 1986 comedy.
The best movie ever, The Money Pit.
Another 10 for Sarah. We are back over to Kendall from a 1999 property. Faye has a real problem with bringing her work as a judge in family court home with her, made harder by her clashes with her own mother.
Is this Judging Amy?
Starring Amy Brenneman, that is Judging Amy. Kendall, in The Old Man, Brenneman's character of Zoe is entangled, romantically and otherwise, with Dan Chase, who's played by him.
No idea. Kelsey Grammer.
That'd be a twist. In this case, we are talking the recent Hulu series, The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges. Back over to Elon. From 2016. If anyone needs counseling, it's going to be Kelly. She's not only the first female president of the United States and lost her entire family in the alien invasion of 1996, but now she has to deal with the aliens coming back.
This is Independence Day Resurgence?
Nailed that subtitle, yes, the second Independence Day film starring Celia Ward as the president. Elon Celia Ward also plays Helen, the lead character's murdered wife, in this 1993 blockbuster.
The Fugitive.
Good for another 10. We are back to Sarah from the year 1992. There was this whole thing with a supernatural killer targeting everyone around her, and on top of that, Cassandra now has a serious fear of bees.
Bees. That makes me think of that movie My Girl, but that doesn't match the first part. Could you read it again, please? Can I get a hint, please?
The actress in question here is Virginia Madsen.
This feels like I should really know this.
Are you friends with her? Do you know Virginia Madsen?
I'm not. Oh, okay. I'm not. Only answer questions about people I'm friends with. I'm just going to say My Girl, because I don't know.
In this case, we are talking the Chicago set horror movie Candyman.
Candyman.
All sorts of... Don't say it three more times. Look out.
Okay. I kind of like the version of My Girl, where it's actually secretly a horror movie, where there's a supernatural killer going around killing the children, just sometimes with bees. I think that's a great idea.
Honestly, My Girl, a more traumatizing movie than Candyman.
Candyman.
All right, we have to stop. One more question for Sarah here. In the movie Sideways, Virginia Madsen plays a waitress who knows a little something about wine. She likes Pinot Noir, but wouldn't touch this popular varietal.
Oh, yeah, he gets so mad about it. Paul Giamatti. I could just name any wine if I knew anything about wine. This isn't it, but I'm going to say Cab.
He does dog on Cab Franc in that movie, but Elon, what's this particular one that really gets a bad rap in Sideways?
Because we're a general audience podcast, but he is not touching any Merlot.
Yes, Merlot. Over to Kendall from a 2000 property. Abby could use some help navigating her relationship between her overly suspicious ex-CIA father and her new fiancé.
Could I get the hint, please?
The actress here is Terry Polo.
Terry.
No.
Polo.
Thank you.
There's like 8 million different early 2000s like rom-coms running together in my head. Analyze This.
You got one of the stars, because this is a De Niro joint, but in this case, we're talking Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents. Felt like De Niro.
Still for Kendall, Terry Polo also played the character of Steph Adams Foster on this 2013 Freeform series.
What is that called? It's just The Fosters, right?
Yeah. Couldn't psych you out on that one. Yes, The Fosters for another 10. Let's kick it over to Dan for our next score update.
The game has stayed very, very tight. Right now, Elon is in the lead with 90 points and the half point. Kendall's got 90, and Sarah is close behind with 85.
Wow, they do not get much closer than that. Let's kick it back over to Elon. This Frasier girlfriend crossover comes from the year 2002. Samantha has recurring nightmares about a ghost coming out of her TV.
So, This, if it is what I'm thinking, then Naomi Watts was a Frasier girlfriend? Well, I'm just going to say The Ring.
The Ring is correct for 20, but actress Lindsay Frost also having issues in The Ring and playing one of Frasier's girlfriends. Elon, Lindsay Frost had a recurring role on the 2001 series Crossing Jordan. This Law and Order actress played the title character.
So it's not Carrie Lowell, and it's not Elizabeth Rome, and it's not because she's a lesbian. Okay. So I just need the name to form in my head, but the name's not forming in my head. Angie Harmon.
Kendall knows this one.
Jill Hennessy.
Yes, Law and Order and Crossing Jordan. That's Jill Hennessy.
Playing the title character of Crossing.
Yes.
Oh, I see. No love for Terry Polo, but we all love Crossing.
Yeah. All right, we are back over to Sarah. This is a 2014 property. Sheila is trying to figure out how to balance her family life with her vital work as Secretary of State.
Can I have a hint, please?
The actress in question is Tia Leone.
Well, now I'm just going to say the same thing I would have guessed, so I should have just guessed The West Wing?
In this case, we're talking Madam Secretary Tia Leone playing the Secretary of State on that show. Still for Sarah, Tia Leone starred alongside Sam Neill and William H. Macy in this 2001 sci-fi action sequel.
Jurassic Park, the second Jurassic Park.
It's the third Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park 3 from 2001.
Ratso.
So close.
Third in the franchise is not your friend today.
No.
No, I keep thinking sequel. My dumb brain just goes to second.
We are back over to Kendall. This is a 1988 property. Kate still hasn't processed that time her son disappeared and a 30-year-old man wearing his underwear showed up in her house.
What? I'm going to need the hint on this one, please.
The actress here is Mercedes Rule.
I got nothing. I'm going to have to pass.
Sarah, what's that movie?
Tom Hanks and Big.
Yes, with Mercedes Rule playing Josh Baskin's mother.
I get it now.
In the initial scene, he tries to show, no, look, I'm really Josh, and shows his underwear, which does not convince her.
No.
Shocking that.
Still for Kendall, Mercedes Rule also had an early role as a police officer in this 1979 Walter Hill cult classic action film.
I got nothing. Pass.
That is The Warriors, an early role for Mercedes Rule. We are back over to Elon. This is a 2021 property. Lorna may be a successful comedian, but she's terrified that she's losing a step and becoming irrelevant.
So this is star performer of the last few years, Jean Smart in Hacks.
Yes, Jean Smart also as Frasier's girlfriend, Lorna. Still for Elon, in Mayor of Easttown, Smart plays Helen to the mother of the lead character, played by her.
Aha, this time I'll get the Kate Winslet question right. It's Kate Winslet.
Correct. Next to Sarah. This is from a 1999 property. Claire isn't sure how to feel about how her cancer was magically healed by a man on death row, but the healing somehow caused a different man to lose his mind.
Can I get a hint, please?
The Frasier girlfriend who's in this property is Patricia Clarkson.
Only death row thing I can think of is the Green Mile.
That is correct for 10. Still for Sarah, Patricia Clarkson voiced the rhymy named Pam on the Netflix series based on this Dr. Seuss book.
Sam I Am?
Elon?
That's Green Eggs and Ham, but it did have Sam I Am.
Yes, but Green Eggs and Ham is that title.
And we should also note, I Am Sam is not Dr. Seuss at all. That's a different thing.
No,
completely doesn't rhyme at all.
And we'll close out round two with Kendall. This is a 1998 property. Julia has a lot of stress arising from her role at a sports news program where all the talent takes everything really seriously.
That would be Sports Night?
Yes, with Felicity Huffman on both Frasier and Sports Night. Kendall, Felicity Huffman is among the multiple women in this round of trivia who have voiced themselves on this Netflix animated series.
Family Guy? Oh, Netflix.
This is BoJack Horseman with all sorts of celebrity self cameos. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, another score update from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Listeners, if you can correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time our next episode comes out, you can win a chance to name a score break right here on the show. Let's hear that riddle, Dan.
A native hero long before it was cool. One version had him studying in high school. In the 50s, he was the son of stone, but it's from video games that he's best known.
Think you know the answer there? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to submit that answer and win that prize. Then if you want to know the answer for sure, check our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about an update on our scores?
Going to round three, it's time for the Tomb of Horrors score break. The Tomb of Horrors. No, Mr. Bard, I expect you to die. Right now, Elon is pulled in the lead. He's got 140 points and the half point. Kendall is close behind with 110. Sarah's in third place with 95. But that means she'll get to go first in round three and will need 5 correct answers in order to take the lead.
And anything could still happen as we enter the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Spaced Out, Finding Love in the New Millennium, Bowling for Soup's Biggest Hit, and 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus. Now, those topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing that you think you're going to be able to do the best on, or maybe keep something that you think sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Sarah, in third place, you get first pick at a lightning round topic. Which of the 4 categories would you like? Once again, they are Spaced Out, Finding Love in the New Millennium, Bowling for Soup's Biggest Hit, and 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus.
I'm going to say the Bowling for Soup's one.
Do you have a guess as to where this is going?
No.
Well, Bowling for Soup had a big hit in the year 2004 with a song called 1985, which is a list of cultural references, more or less. So every answer in this round is going to be a lyric from the song 1985 by Bowling for Soup. 90 seconds on the clock. Sarah, are you ready?
Yes.
Andrew Ridgely was the other guy in this pop duo.
Wham!
John Cryer plays Ducky in this 1986 movie.
Not 16 Candles. Pretty in Pink!
The umlauts in the name of this Dr. Feelgood band are just decorative.
Pass.
The Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star was the first song to air on this channel.
MTV.
Debbie Harry and Chris Stein were at the center of this Heart of Glass band.
Blondie.
This Hungry Like the Wolf band was named after a character from Barbarella.
Duran Duran.
There is some controversy about the state of the bat eaten on stage by this heavy metal singer.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Songs of Innocence by this band was released free to all iTunes customers in 2014.
You too.
Her first number one hit was 1984's Like a Virgin.
Madonna.
Dave Grohl joined this band in 1990.
Nirvana.
This Is This Love band is best remembered for a video featuring Tawny Kitaen.
Whitesnake.
This 1979 rock opera is Pink Floyd's 11th studio album.
Tommy.
The Wall.
Oh.
That is The Wall at the end there. All right, nice job, Sarah. Dan, let's hear the Sarah report.
Boy, Sarah really knows either her 1980 stuff or her Bowling for Soup. She did very, very well. You have just one pass to go through. The umlauts in the name of the band. Sarah, I think you know it.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue. They're just decorative. Others would be Motley Crue. And that's too Scottish for them. Sarah got 10 correct answers. She now has 195 points and the lead. Kendall's up next. She has 110. So she'll need to get 9 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Kendall, three category choices left on the board for you. They are Spaced Out, Finding Love in the New Millennium, and 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus.
I'm going to go with Finding Love in the New Millennium.
You got a guess as to where this is going, Kendall?
Rom-coms from the 2000s or something?
Spot on. This is romantic comedies released between 2000 and 2009, the first decade of this century. 90 seconds on the clock. Kendall, are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
This 2007 Catherine Zeta-Jones movie has nothing to do with the CNN series of the same name.
Pass.
Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher are compelled to live together in this 2008 comedy.
Pass.
After How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Hudson and McConaughey reteamed for this 2008 movie.
Pass.
This music icon co-stars with Cuba Gooding Jr. in The Fighting Temptations.
Pass.
Kirsten Dunst starred in 2001's Get Over It, loosely based on this Shakespeare play.
Much Ado About Nothing?
Midsummer Night's Dream. This The OC star has the lead in 2007's In the Land of Women.
Ben McKenzie?
Adam Brody. A Jane Austen classic was adapted to an Indian family in this 2004 Martin Henderson movie.
Bride and Prejudice.
This I Know Who Killed Me star trades luck with Chris Pine in Just My Luck.
Lindsay Lohan.
In the 2005 adaptation of Fever Pitch, this sports team has an unexpectedly good season.
The Red Sox.
2000's Whatever It Takes is a modern take on this Edmund Rostand play.
Pass.
In Wit a Date with Tad Hamilton, this Safe Haven star is Tad Hamilton.
Josh Duhamel.
Deliver Us from Eva pairs Gabrielle Union with this Going Back to Cali musician.
No idea.
That's LL Cool J in Deliver Us from Eva. All right, Dan, let's hear the Kendall report.
All right, several passes up at the top there. Let's go through those first. The 2007 Catherine Zeta-Jones movie that shares a name with the CNN series is No Reservations. Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher are compelled to live together by a quirky judge. You know those judges, oh boy. Quirky judge in the comedy What Happens in Vegas. Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey reteamed after How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days for Fool's Gold. Fighting Temptation stars Cuba Gooding Jr. and Beyoncé. And if we're talking an Edmund Rostand play, I mean, I know, we all know so many Edmund Rostand plays, but the one we're talking about here is, in fact, Cyrano de Bergerac. Kendall got 4 correct answers, giving her 150 points. That's a good score, but not enough to put her in the lead. Sarah's still up there with 195. Elon currently has 140 points and the half point, so he'll need to get 6 correct answers in his category in order to take the win.
All right, Elon, 2 choices left on the board for you. They are Spaced Out and 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus.
Okay, I have Spaced Out and 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus. And I feel safer in space and less safe with the 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus. But I'm very curious about 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus. So I'm going to put my foot on the gas. Let's go with 57 Photographs, 9 Waxworks, and No Jesus.
Wow. Is there anything in that curiosity that's leading you to a guess as to what the heck this category is going to be?
It feels like that Monty Python sketch with Michelangelo. And he's painting The Last Supper, but he has 28 disciples, 3 Jesuses, and a kangaroo. That's the closest I've got.
You're in the right realm of British stuff, but in this case, the category name here could be applied to describing the cover of the album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. So this is going to be all about the figures depicted on that album's cover.
Is it that they were bigger than Jesus already at that point?
I suppose so, yes. 90 seconds on the clock. Elon, are you ready?
Probably not, but let's go for it.
In The Raven, John Cusack plays this American author.
Edgar Allan Poe.
This early Hollywood icon starred in She Done Him Wrong and I'm No Angel.
Clara Bow.
Mae West. Giant bugs abound in this Cronenberg adaptation of William S. Burroughs' novel.
Naked Lunch.
Contrary to reports, his headstone doesn't actually read I'd Rather Be in Philadelphia.
Pass.
In A Dangerous Method, this shame actor plays Carl Jung.
That's not Fassbender. Fassbender?
Marlena Dietrich and Tyrone Power starred in this 1957 Billy Wilder courtroom drama.
Pass.
Dramatic roles for this dancer include The Towering Inferno and On the Beach.
Gene Kelly.
Fred Astaire. This singer was born Robert Allen Zimmerman in Minnesota, 1941.
Bob Dylan.
This Aldous Huxley novel became a TV series on Peacock in 2020.
Nobody saw Brave New World.
After a 1964 obscenity conviction, this comedian was posthumously pardoned in 2003.
Lenny Bruce.
Adaptations of this poet's work include Under Milkwood and A Child's Christmas in Wales.
Dylan Thomas.
In a 1996 TV movie, Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino both played this actress.
Marilyn Monroe.
We are taking Marilyn Monroe right at the buzzer. Very good. All right, Dan, let's hear the Elon report and our final scores.
All right, so let's do the passes first. W.C. Fields famously joked that wherever he was, he'd rather be in Philadelphia. You know, it's better than Philadelphia. But his headstone doesn't actually read, "I'd rather be in Philadelphia," says W.C. Fields. Marlene Dietrich and Tyrone Power starred in the Billy Wilder courtroom drama Witness for the Prosecution, one of the great courtroom dramas in American history. Elon needed 6 correct answers to win. He got 8, so our final scores are Kendall with 150, Sarah with 195, and our winner with 220 points and the half point, it's Elon.
Hey, Elon!
Hey, Elon!
Good job.
Well done, Elon. Congratulations on another victory here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. But that does mean it is the end of the road in this season for Sarah and Kendall. Fantastic gameplay all around. People were up, we were down. It was one of the most fun episodes we have had. Thank you so much for playing. But before we go, Kendall, where can our listeners find more of you? Anything to plug?
You can find me on Twitter for as long as it lasts at Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L underscore mint. And I would also like to plug your local library. It has lots of things, including books and other than books, and it can do a lot for you.
Fantastic. And Sarah, where can our listeners hear or see more of you?
You can watch me on The Kominsky Method on Netflix.
And Sarah's too modest to say it, but she was Screen Actors Guild nominated for that show as part of the ensemble. Definitely check it out. And Elon, where can our listeners hear more of you?
We have a podcast infrequently updated called Squid Eye and the Bitter Guy. We've got a Facebook page for that. If you look for that, you'll hear me chatting with friends and having fun.
Fantastic. And listeners, you can also follow Elon as the small airplane emoji over on our Season 8 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the third elimination match over in the Genesis Division, the last game before we hit our Season 8 playoffs. Well, I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan, Production Master Dave, Sarah, Kendall, and Elon, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. I'm your host, Taylor's Cole, and I'm Taylor's Cole. Oh my God. Great way to start.
Just marking that for the end.
Okay. My middle initial is S, so I'm not too far off there.